You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
According to the nation's largest pet health insurance company, Veterinary Pet Insurance, GI upset ranks as the second most common reason for dog owners to seek medical attention for their canine companions, and the fourth most common reason for cat owners. A pet's digestive system is amazingly complex and sensitive. It's responsible for more than just processing food into energy and waste products. An upset GI system can lead to a decreased quality of life and a decrease in its quantity. My guests today are from the Purina Pet Care Company, Drs. Grace Long and Dr. Gail Zarnacki Molden. They'll tell us how to keep our pet's GI system on the right track. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent!
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us. From speed drawing and mushing to racing, agility, and competition, this is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Doctors, thank you very much for being with us today. GI upset, yes, is all too common.
Yes, it is. We see a lot of it in a variety of different forms, everything from vomiting to soft stools and diarrhea.
I think a lot of people are surprised because they go, okay, you know, these animals come from wild beasts and they're out in the wild and eating this and that and everything else that they find. So they kind of have that GI tract that's iron cast. And I'm sure I've done it myself, I have to admit, when I had my dog, it was just that nice little garbage disposal sometimes. You look at leftovers in the refrigerator that's maybe been there a day longer than you want to eat, but you go, ah, it's okay, give it to the dog. Do dogs and cats really have a GI tract that is much hardier than a person's?
For the most part, they don't, unfortunately. That would be nice, but they actually have, I want to say, on average, very sensitive GI tracts, and maybe it's because they have been domesticated. In general, they do best if they have the exact same thing to eat every day, and we see a lot less upset in animals that are fed that way than those that are fed table scraps or a variety of different foods.
But people are going to say, boy, if I had to eat that same food day after day after day, I'm going to get really bored. And my dog or my cat loves certain treats. What's wrong with giving the treats?
Treats are okay, as long as they're the right treats and as long as they're given in the right amounts. And we use the rule of thumb that you don't want to exceed 10% of the calories from treats. And you want to pick the right treats. By treats, I'm really talking about commercial treats, biscuits, or maybe some other treats that are okay, like a carrot stick is a great little treat. Certain things like that are all right to give pets in small quantities.
I agree with you very much so. I've never been one that says, no, you cannot give these treats. But as long as they realize, yes, that's a magic word. It's the treat. That treat is not supposed to make up the main portion of the diet, which it seems like too many of our cats and dogs are definitely getting round because of way too many treats and free feeding. Maybe, Dr. Long, you could tell us exactly what does GI upset mean?
Well, it's very similar to what it means in people, actually. It's usually an upset stomach or intestinal tract, and the symptoms are very similar, again, to people. If their stomach is upset, the most common symptom is vomiting, and if the intestinal tract is upset, we'll see anything from just a soft stool to watery diarrhea. And the other thing that's a little vaguer, but we do see just refusal to eat or anorexia. And that usually is a signal that there's something not quite right with that pet. And you may not see the outward signs of vomiting or diarrhea, but just their refusal to eat, especially in a pet that usually really enjoys their meals, that's a signal of a GI problem.
People sometimes are confused as to when do I really need to take my pet in for this GI upset. We know, you know, from my lead-in that, yes, pet insurance companies are finding that it's so common, people bringing their pets in. But do you have to bring them in just after a day of having an upset stomach? What are some of the signals? What are some of the signs you're saying, no, you need to get in now?
I think it depends on the severity. If you have a dog that got into the trash can, for instance, and threw up once and then seems to be feeling okay, isn't depressed or anything, and only does it one time, that's probably not a reason to bring them right into the veterinarian. But on the other hand, if they're acting depressed, acting like they really don't feel well, or if you see blood in either the vomitus or in the stool, or if it goes on for more than one day, then you definitely want to bring them in before they get dehydrated or have secondary problems.
Yes, I think that's definitely good indications as to when to bring these kids in, because sometimes they wait too long. You know, the diarrhea has been going on for a week or two, and these poor animals are so severely dehydrated. Right. Dr. Gale, what are some of the things that people might want to try at home to kind of soothe that GI tract?
You know, one of the things that you see within animals as well as within people is you've got microflora that live in your GI tract. And there's really a balance between the good bacteria and the bad bacteria. So one of the ways that you can keep your GI tract healthy and help prevent having an issue with GI disturbance is to feed something like a probiotic, which is good bacteria that you consume. And these help to keep the microflora that are in the GI tract balanced so that if the dog is or the cat is exposed to something that might tend to throw it out of balance and cause diarrhea, it's less likely to happen, because you have a better start within the GI tract or a better balance to start with.
People right now are seeing so much about probiotics. You watch TV and there's various yogurts that have probiotics, and there's pills and there's drinks and there's all these various things. People may, number one, be going, why do we have bacteria in our gut? Maybe we should address that, or you can address that, Dr. Gale, as to why there is bacteria in the first place in the GI tract.
Yeah, well, bacteria, actually, it's interesting because there's actually, if you count up the number of, here's just a fun fact for people, but if you count up the total number of bacterial cells in your GI tract, I don't know if people realize, but they actually, and you count the total number of cells in our body, they actually outnumber us 10 to 1. And they need us to stay alive. On the other hand, we need them to stay alive as well. They have a number of really important functions within the body. There's a lot of recent research showing that the bacteria in your GI tract are actually sending signals to your body and vice versa. So if you're not eating a good diet, they may be sending a signal for you to absorb more nutrients, because if you die, they're going to die as well. They're very important for normal functioning of the immune system as well. They provide a source of stimulation for the immune system and keep it active, so that when we are exposed to some sort of threat, that our immune system is able to respond quicker and better to it. They also make nutrients that our cells consume. So they're basically providing food that's food for us. So again, if we feed the beneficial bacteria in the GI tract, then we're basically feeding ourselves by having them produce more food for us. But they also particularly will tend to attack pathogens that we're exposed to. So they can do this by changing the environment in the GI tract so that the pathogens don't grow as well. They also make our intestinal cells stronger so that we can better fight off the pathogens. But some of these bacteria will actually produce factors that will actually kill specific types of bacteria or other types of pathogens we're exposed to.
So these very bugs important really that are good. There.
Yes.
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 Mm-hmm. Well, I learned something new, and I love having all these various guests because I never realized, I knew there was a lot of bugs in our intestinal tract, but didn't realize they outnumber us 10 to 1.
Yeah, we're kind of a walking factory for bacteria in a way, but they're good, the good bacteria, though. So
we have this agreement. I take care of you, you take care of me.
Exactly.
Why is it then that so many puppies and kittens, you know, that seems to be so common? They'll come into me and, you know, here's this new, just happy-looking little kitten or puppy. Though they're eating well, they just have the blowout poops that are so hard sometimes to get on top of. What are some of the reasons why these puppies and kittens have intestinal upsets?
One of the reasons is the influence of stress on a GI tract. And we know that any animal that's stressed, that it will affect the balance of the good and the bad bacteria. And stress tends to inhibit the good, and it's a perfect environment for the bad. And when you think about what puppies and kittens go through, that's a very stressful time in their lives. They're taking away from their mother. They go to a strange home. They may have a diet change, and sometimes they have parasites. So they're almost like the poster children for stress. And that usually is the cause of a lot of the diarrhea that we see, soft stools that we see in puppies and kittens.
Yeah, the other thing that we know is that within puppies and kittens, their immune systems aren't fully developed yet. So they're going to be more susceptible to infection just because of that.
So with this little puppy that seems happy and bright and eating, but just has the blowout poops, we go ahead, run a stool sample, and find there's no parasites, internal parasites. What can these folks do then to try and settle that tummy down?
If I had a puppy and he had blowout diarrhea, I would visit the veterinarian. I think puppies and kittens, that's one category that you really don't want to wait. If they have it that severe, I would take them in. And usually the first thing that the veterinarian will tell you to do is to not feed them for several hours, and sometimes it's up to a day, just to give everything a chance to recover. Sometimes they will treat them medically, and it's a good idea to start the probiotic. Our probiotic is called Fortiflora, and that's a good thing to start right away. But I would bring them into the veterinarian before I would do anything else on my own.
And it's always a good idea, you know, to bring in that stool sample just to be sure.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not the most fun to kind of scoop it up, and you don't need a cup of the poop. You know, you just need a teaspoon at least of it.
Right, right.
Now, you were mentioning Fortiflora, and some of the people listening going, well, okay, that's made by Purina, so of course these two doctors are going to recommend this product. Why can't they just use yogurt, something they're going to buy at the grocery store? It says probiotics right on the label.
First of all, I guess one thing we should say about yogurts is there are a few on the market that claim to have probiotics, but by and large, the yogurts in the U.S. do not have probiotic cultures in them. So that's one thing to look at if you are looking at a yogurt. But the other thing, it may work for your pet, but they haven't been proven to work in pets. So you could take a chance and do it. We know with our product that it does work for dogs and cats. But as I said, the probiotic yogurts that are out there, they've been made for people. They haven't been made for pets, and there isn't any testing on them. So we don't know for sure they'd work or not.
So just because it says probiotics on the label doesn't mean that it's meant for dogs, will work for dogs, and using a product that is made for pets is going to be much more effective. Now, can probiotics, your Fortiflora, be used in cats?
Yeah, we have a cat version and a dog version.
And I know that cats and dogs, especially the little ones, you know, they're not really into taking pills. Is it simple to give?
Yes, it is. It's in a sachet. There's a powder that's actually a flavor enhancer. And all you do is you just sprinkle that over the top of their food. And they actually really love the flavor of the powder that's in there. And that's so they can just eat their normal food and just have that sprinkled up on top. In fact, we know a number of veterinarians who are actually using the product when they have an animal who's not eating very well. They'll use that to help get them eating better, too, because it's so flavorful.
I'll tell you my story that I tell a lot of folks. I have a grand cat that has to have a pill a day and hates to take pills. And so what my daughter does is she simply puts the Fortiflora in a little saucer and puts the pill in the middle, and the cat eats the whole thing, pill and all. So it's very palatable.
And that's a very lucky grand cat to be willing to take it that way, because yes, when a cat doesn't want to take a pill, it is just so tough to convince them that this is for your own good. Well, we're listening right now to Dr. Grace Long, a veterinarian. She is the veterinary marketing director for Nestle Purina Pet Care. And we're also chatting right now with Gail Zarnicki Molden. She is a PhD doctor and senior research nutritionist for Nestle Purina Pet Care. We're going to be right back after this short break and talk about more tummy upsets and way to keep it healthy. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Spills, pet messes, and dirt are unavoidable, but the stains and odors they cause are not. Spot Shot Instant Carpet Stain and Odor Eliminator is non-toxic, environmentally friendly, and biodegradable formula. Safely and permanently eliminates the toughest carpet spills and stains, even pet messes. Approved by the Carpet and Rug Institute, Spot Shot neutralizes odors with powerful dual odor eliminators and utilizes an anti-resoiling agent to protect carpets from future stains. Spot Shot products can be found at Walmart, Petco, Lowe's, and your local grocery retailer. For more information, visit spotshot.com. Get $5 off the admission for the hit movie, Marley and Me. Just go to PetLifeRadio.com and click on the Marley and Me banner for details.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Doctors, thank you so much for being with us today. We just finished with Thanksgiving and going into Christmas. And this is a time when people have all sorts of yummies around the house. What are some of the things in particular that these pets should try to avoid, and we should make sure that they're up and out of the way?
If you're talking about table scraps, I would say anything that has a high fat content. Folks tend to give pets sometimes the parts that they don't like or don't want, like, for instance, on the turkey, the skin of the turkey, or meat scraps that have fat in it. Those are the things that are hardest for dogs to handle. So I would stay away from anything that has fat, and of course anything that's very spicy.
Chocolate, you know, because a lot of times we have chocolate cookies, we have, you know, those little chocolate Santa Clauses, and chocolate's very toxic to dogs.
And I think people don't realize that all of a sudden, and some dogs just have little ant noses. You know, they can find that box of candy that's under the tree, way behind all the presents, and you wake up in the morning and you just find, like, the wrappers. And how they do that, I'm not sure. They can unwrap chocolate, it seems.
Yeah.
What makes the chocolate toxic?
There's a compound inside of it called theobromine that dogs, very toxic to dogs, but it isn't toxic to humans.
And I know another reason why, and I found it initially somewhat interesting, is for some dogs, it's not so much the chocolate, because some of these things are just chocolate flavored instead of like those dark truffles, you know, the real chocolate that's in there. But it has a fair amount of sodium. So if you were to have a pet with a cardiac, a heart condition, and they get into the chocolate having the sodium, that can throw them into a cardiac crisis. A little earlier, you mentioned the fat in the food, and people don't understand what's so bad about fat. What, besides maybe getting some soft stool, what's the problem with fat, if you could elaborate?
Fat actually is the hardest nutrient to digest. It takes about twice as much work on the part of the GI tract to digest fat and about twice as many steps. So if you overload the GI tract with fat, a lot of times the animal just can't tolerate it. And what happens then is you have just partially digested food and not completely digested, and that usually results in diarrhea.
The other thing is, if they eat a lot of high-fat snacks, it's going to contribute to obesity as well. We have enough trouble trying to keep weight off our pets without doing that to them on top of it, but fat is very calorically dense. It's the most calorically dense nutrient. So even just a little bit of extra fat is going to add a lot of calories, especially for a cat or for a small dog. I think people don't realize how few calories they need per day. And you give them, you know, a little bit of chicken fat on top of what they're normally getting, and it could be adding 50% more calories than what they really even need.
Obesity definitely is a major problem. You know, so many times I'll tell a client as they come in with their chunky monkey pet going, you know, this pet is overweight. They go, no, it's not. I was at the dog park the other day, and there was another Doberman that was much bigger than my dog. How can you call mine fat? And sometimes I tell people the best thing to do if you want to look slim is to get fat friends. So in comparison, you're going to look slimmer.
I like that.
But I think one of the things that's very confusing to people and veterinarians alike, they say, well, I'm feeding what it tells me to feed on the label. So it must be those pet food companies. They just want me to feed more food. What's your answer to that one, ladies?
The thing is, the label, you don't have an individual label for every single animal. So we make up our feeding directions for an average animal, but there's going to be animals who need to eat more than that. There's going to be animals who need to eat less. And if you actually carefully read those instructions, they say use this as a guide, but to base your final determination on the body condition of the animal to make sure the animal doesn't get too fat or too thin.
We actually have a body condition scoring system from 1 to 9, and 5 is ideal. And so as veterinarians, we like to educate the pet owners on what to look for in their pet and how to determine if they have an ideal body condition.
And what would an ideal body condition look like? You have to be very descriptive now on the radio.
Okay. Well, if you look at your pet from, this is a dog, if you look at them from the top down, they should actually have a waist. So you will see their waist come in behind the rib cage. It'll be narrow. If you look at them from the side, they will have a tuck. Their abdomen will tuck up, again, behind the rib cage. And you should be able to gently push on the sides of your dog. In other words, run your hands down their sides and actually feel the ribs. We don't want you to see the ribs, but with slight pressure, you should be able to feel them.
And I think that's that magic word, slight pressure. Because I'll have some of these really round animals, and you know, and they're pushing, and they go, wow, look, you know, there's the rib. I said, yes, but you're pinching an inch before you get there. That little extra patina of fat says, yes, that you have a snossage and you don't have a dog.
Right.
Now, the cat, how would that work? Same idea?
It's sort of the same idea. You almost have to rely a little bit more on the feel and feeling for those ribs. Because cats naturally have this sort of a pouch. Even a thin cat will sort of sag, and so you won't see that typical tuck in a cat that you would see in a thin dog.
I've always thought I should go into plastic surgery and do tummy tucks for a lot of these pets, because it's so frustrating. for these people. You know, their pet was chunky, and then they lost weight, and they have this little waddle that's down there, and mm-hmm. it's like, you know, that's just the way they're going to be now.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So if you do have that chunky monkey pet and you need it to lose weight, is there a best food to put them on, or what, be nutritionist working for Purina, what are some of the best ways that people can get weight off their pets?
You know, that's a leading question when you ask about the best food, because, of course, we have a weight management diet called OM, overweight management, which is very low in calories. But you definitely want to put your pet on a weight management type of diet, because those are formulated specifically for that, and they contain a higher concentration of nutrients per every 100 calories. So the animal can eat fewer calories but still get all the nutrients they need. There's a concern if you take, say, a traditional food and just try to feed less, they may not get all the energy and nutrients they need.
How about with a cat? All of a sudden you go, it's a fat cat, I've been feeding free choice, I'm just going to give just teeny amounts to get this cat to lose weight.
Give them a teeny amount? There's a danger with cats. You have to do the same thing. You have to cut back on the total calories. But it's very important that cats keep eating. In other words, if you had a cat and you switched him to a weight management diet, even if you did it gradually, and he didn't like it and he refused to eat, they are prone to a liver condition called hepatic lipidosis. It's very dangerous and very life-threatening. And the animals, the cats are at most risk, are the overweight cats that are suddenly not eating anything. So you have to be very careful that they continue to eat through the weight loss process.
And yes, I've seen people who brought in cats who said, okay, I know the cat was fat, so I was going to put it on this really strict diet. I bought a new food. The cat didn't like it, but I figured, you know, in a day or two, this kitty is going to eat. You know, I'm going to do some tough love. And then they realize after 2 days of not eating, okay, here's your old food back again. And by that time, so many of these cats are already on that downward spiral that they don't even want to eat their old food. And they come in, and after sometimes thousands of dollars and lots of luck, we can get those kitties turned around. So yes, I think that's very important information that you were just giving. Some other information I think that would be of interest, knowing that, again, you're with your Purina Pet Care Company, that oftentimes people come in, they'll have that new pup, whatever, and they say, oh, my breeder said that this particular breed cannot eat corn or can't have soy. Your feelings on that, doctors?
That usually is not the case. I guess I would ask for a little bit more information to see what they were basing that on. But unfortunately, soy and corn get bad raps. They're actually excellent nutrients. And, you know, and I sit and think about it. I love corn on the cob. And mm-hmm. when I'm eating corn, I don't think, oh, I'm eating something bad. And dogs and cats really aren't all that different. Corn and soy are very nutritious, and they can be excellent sources of protein and carbohydrates. So the chance that these animals can't tolerate it is very, very low.
And here's a question for you, Dr. Zarnicki Molden. With looking at pet food labels, oftentimes people are very sensitized. They're trying to go to these, you know, really high-end premium foods, foods that have ingredients that are table quality, something that you would eat yourself, because they will look at a commercially prepared pet food and see the label and goes, oh, it has byproducts. You know, byproducts are bad. Could you give your views on byproducts?
Now, byproducts aren't bad. I know that we, as well as the other pet food companies, have very strict quality control guidelines. We make sure that the ingredients that we use are highly digestible. And we use a specific blend of ingredients to meet the nutrient needs of the dog or cat. The thing that we have to keep in mind, when you buy a pet food, all the nutrients that animal is going to get is in that food. So it's not like you going out and having a steak and then some vegetables with it and some potatoes. They have to have their complete nutrition, all the vitamins, all the minerals, everything right in that each bite. So what we do when we formulate the products is we put in a blend of different ingredients, and each of those ingredients meets a specific nutritional need. And the other thing, when we look at the byproducts, they're not, I always hear people say, well, you're feeding hooves and you're feeding feathers and you're feeding beaks. I can tell you that a cat will not eat. I mean, even though a cat will kill a bird and eat the feathers, if you've got a lot of feathers in your product, the cat's not going to eat it. They don't like the flavor. And it's very poor quality protein. So, you know, when we're looking at byproducts, they might, a byproduct is something that isn't straight muscle meat, but it doesn't mean that it's something that would be disgustingly horrible for them to eat. There's byproducts in hot dogs, too.
And don't they taste good? Yes. And a lot of people are concerned about it. But I agree. It was interesting because I was looking through a list one time. I believe it was Purina of, you know, some of these different byproducts, what it actually was. And I'm Hispanic, and one of the dishes that I love, especially during the holidays, is a soup called menudo. And menudo is made with tripe, and tripe is cow's stomach. And some people go, oh, my goodness. But hey, there's a lot of us that go, this is really good stuff. And that is considered a byproduct. So a lot of what we eat, you know, as humans, for somebody else, we go, oh, that's a byproduct.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, dogs are living, and cats are living longer and longer. And so obviously the ingredients that we're using are good ingredients. We can keep a dog alive for 17 years now with good quality life, compared to 50 years ago, where the average lifespan was substantially shorter. So, you know, that's, again, just more proof that what we're doing is good for them.
Well, I really wish that I could go to the grocery store, go to a aisle, find different flavors, but in this one container is all the nutrients that I need. It's complete. It's balanced for my life stage. And it would be so simple. Because, yes, trying to figure out I need some of this, some of that, some of that is very difficult. What are your feelings about people that want to feed raw diets? They say that's natural. You know, in the wild, they're eating raw diets.
I think there's, it depends upon the particular raw diet, but there are a couple major concerns. One of them is salmonella. There's a lot of salmonella we see in animals that are on raw diets, and that, of course, has potential for GI upset and diarrhea. So that's one main concern. And, of course, any raw food that would contain bones, that's very dangerous because the bones have a high potential of penetrating something along the way, be it the esophagus or the stomach or the intestine. So those are probably the two biggest dangers, bacterial infection and the danger of bones.
The other thing, if you're going to use your dog for therapy work or your cat for therapy work, take them to a nursing home or to a hospital to visit patients. Even the people who produce raw diets tell you not to feed them in those situations because potentially the animal, if it has the raw food, you know, and it has maybe more salmonella in its mouth and it licks somebody who's already sick and their immune system's already depressed, it can cause major problems within that person too. So that's a contraindication no matter what, no matter how high quality the product is.
And I think it is so important. It's not just the preparing the food that potentially has the salmonella in it, but knowing that the pet eats it, it goes to the GI tract, what comes out the other end still has active salmonella, which is contagious to people. So yes, people do need to be extremely, extremely cautious. Well, I think you've given us a marvelous overview of probiotics, Fortiflora, that can assist pets in staying healthy, ways of feeding, why we have overweight pets, some good safety tips for the holidays. Is there a website that people can go to learn more about the Fortiflora and Purina products in particular?
Yes, there is. The website is purinaveterinarydiets.com. And I'll also give you an 800 number if anybody is interested in talking to a live person. They can call 1-800-879-1266.
Great. Well, we've been talking today to two doctors, Dr. Grace Long, veterinarian, director of veterinary marketing for Nestle Purina Pet Care, and Dr. Gail Zarnicki Molden. She is a PhD doctor and senior research nutritionist for Purina Pet Care. Thank you both very much for being with us today. I think you've given us some great information, and that's always been the goal of the show, to entertain, educate, and to motivate you to be the best pet owner you can be. Thank you so much. Come back next week and listen to some more educational, entertaining material. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.